Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin. And we're here on a Tuesday night to continue to shake off this ridiculous and frustrating loss, the Baltimore Ravens against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're also here to update you guys on injuries, play a little blame game tonight, talk about, start to take an eye and point towards the future of this London game coming up against the Tennessee Titans. And of course, break down the film with our faithful compadre, Cole Jackson. We're so excited to get into tonight, and we got a ton to talk about. So with that being said, Glenn, first of all, how are you doing?
Doing well. This is kind of a stressful night after the rough weekend in Baltimore.
Hasn't gotten any better yet. Hopefully the Orioles can turn it around.
I certainly hope so. It's top of the first. We got one on, two outs. Mountcastle's up to bat. So let's hope. But man, if they lose tonight, obviously the season's over. Still a heck of a run, a heck of a ride. They gave me an awesome summer. But look, I still want more.
I still want more.
So let's hope they can get it done. But yeah, this was a very frustrating loss. I think a lot of fans were, man, their pitchforks. They were coming for some. They wanted some people's jobs after that loss. And it didn't help that, you know, Cincinnati looked like they kind of bounced back or kind of found their offense a little bit. Certainly found Ja'Marr Chase open quite a bit. So it's just a combination of a lot of things, but I think this experience always helps us turn the page. It helps us get over the last loss and start looking forward to the next week. So I'm looking forward to it, Jimbo.
Agreed. Hopefully this serves as some positivity here moving forward, and and more than anything, let's just like spew it out of our mouths and get it out of our system, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. With that being said, Cole Jackson is going to join us here. So Cole, how you doing, man? Oh,
does it sound better?
Oh, man.
Am I right, boys?
Look at the potty.
Oh, right?
Yeah,
man, I'm dying. I go on my YouTube channel and literally everybody's like, oh my god, I can actually hear you now. There we go. It was my birthday on Saturday, so my gift to myself was a new microphone. So
happy birthday, man.
Yeah, happy birthday.
It was a shitty Sunday birthday, we were buzzing on Saturday when I got it. So yeah, what's going on, boys? What's going on, chat? Good to see everybody. Unfortunate times here. We're going to get into it, but doing well outside of anything to do with the Ravens, that's for sure.
Just so you guys know Cole's mood coming into this, he literally put in our private chat, let's get angry. With all caps and angry. So, and I'm Cole, look, like Glenn's referenced a few times, I have as well. We've been watching you on Twitter, and you haven't been too happy lately.
I'm a grumpy little man.
I'm excited to talk about it, and you know, so I kind of want to start the conversation this way. When we of course hopped on right after the game, we started immediately blaming people, and you know, we're just like Glenn said, there's pitchforks for John Harbaugh. Everyone talked about the wide receivers, people talked about the fumbles, whatever, right? There was a whole litany of things and a ton of people that you can blame. My question is, what's your list look like as far as a blame game goes, right? Like, how do you break this thing down
for this game specifically? We're talking here.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'll give you guys my rant. I am big on chronological order when I'm trying to identify why a game went wrong. And this is just one of those situations where it's such a classic. This game's tucked away, put to bed in the first half. If people just simply catch the fucking ball. Like, it's not overly complicated. I mean, you go back, you watch it, and there was one drive where second and third down and goal were drops. And then it's like, you know what? And that doesn't excuse, like, the goal line fade. We can get into whether or not that was a good play call if we want, but it doesn't mean that was not a bad throw by Lamar. It was a poorly placed ball. It was a poor play call. That's all sure. I don't disagree with that, but it's all about what comes first. And, you know, it's just one of those situations where I think Lamar Jackson has to basically be a superhero to the point where, you know, he's already out there creating time and space in the pocket for his O-line. And then, you know, there's times where I put up a play where, you know, everyone's debating whether or not it was 3 or 3.5 seconds to when he got sacked. And I'm like, holy fuck. Like, is our expectation of our O-line so low that we think that ball should have been out there? And then, you know, you watch the strip sack and it's like, he's literally in the process of throwing the ball to a wide open Odell Beckham Jr. And people are like, he has to protect the ball. Protect the ball? How? How big do your hands have to be to be able to hold on to the ball while it's being hit while you're throwing? It's just, it's been frustrating for me because I'm not really a Lamar apologist. It's not always defend Lamar, but in this case, it's drops, it's coaching, and then it's Lamar in that order in terms of who I place the blame at.
Yeah. It's funny. I was kind of imitating. I was doing my best Cole Jackson imitation in our comment section after the game. Cause you're right. It was more, you pay a guy this amount of money and this is what you get. It was, you know, and I'm just like, if you think that game was on Lamar Jackson, you weren't watching, or you just don't like Lamar Jackson. So you'll find any opportunity to kind of, you know, put the blame on him. But I wanted to ask you about the offensive line play, because we thought, okay, yeah, Moses isn't going to be out there, but no problem. Ronnie's back. McCary slides to right. Welcome to the TJ Watt experience now, McCary, after leaving Myles Garrett. So my question, I know he gets banged up, right? Faalele comes into the game. What was your take on how McCary was playing before the injury and how things changed after Faalele came in?
I thought McCary played pretty well. He gave up one really ugly sack to Watt, but other than that, a lot of Watt's damage came when Faalele came in. He had a total of 5 pressures, 2 of them being sacks. You know, it's just one of those things with McCary where, and we talked about this after the Indy game, you know, he can have 30 really, really good snaps and 2 ugly ones, but everybody remembers the 2 ugly ones. So if you guys think back to the first half, how many times did you say to yourself, TJ Watt's killing us? Mm-hmm. You didn't really, right?
First half, yeah, no.
Honestly, the first half, Ronnie wasn't killing us either. Mm-hmm. He gave up 9 pressures, and I'd have to go back and look at how I charted them, but I think 7 of the 9 came in the second half. I thought things were pretty clean in the first half. I thought they were, you know, protection was good. Balls getting out well placed. It's just guys weren't catching it. And then in the second half is when you saw TJ Watt and Highsmith take over a little bit, right? And so, again, it's like, you know, if you tuck it away in the first half, it doesn't mean they're not going to lead a comeback. I don't think they are against this defense personally. But, you know, it's going to be, your margin for error is going to be a lot smaller. And that's kind of how I see this. You know, again, when you talk about the interception in the red zone, it's not necessarily that should be excused, but I guess your margin for error for a mistake like that is now a lot bigger because you took care of business in the first half. You gave yourself that cushion. You took advantage of your red zone trips. And it's really, I'm not asking much. I'm not asking a bunch of guys that weren't able to get open to do something special. I wasn't asking for a circus catch. I'm asking for the basics. Catch the fucking ball when it hits you in the hands. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. So that's really, you know, what it comes down to me. But overall, offensive line play really fell apart in the second half specifically. And the only offensive lineman I came away happy with from this game was Tyler Linderbaum. I thought he played a hell of a game. Yeah, I got a piece coming out on him tomorrow. He's quickly become the best offensive lineman on this team.
But we can't excuse what happened before the half though, Cole. I mean,
yeah. So let's talk about that. So I saw someone in the chat ask, so I mean, this is how I view it. Okay. So when I'm, first of all, the decision to send out your offense to try and draw them offside or whatever.
Like, why are you even getting so damn cute, John?
Yeah. It's to me, I guess I get what he's doing, but I also don't really get it because either you're going for it or you're not.
They didn't even have a play called, Cole. You could tell when the snap was, nobody knew what the hell to do. At least if you're going to fake it, have something called.
Like, and this is kind of how I feel. Like if you guys remember when Zay Flowers went out for the return in the Indy game when he caught it, and it gave them the 2-minute warning. Whereas if he returns it for a couple yards, and he was like, "Yeah, it's a miscommunication." I mean, part of your job is managing these situations. So they're unique. They're not regular situations you're dealing with in a game-to-game basis, but it still falls at your feet. You're the coach. Like, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of my team. And so the decision by Tyler Linderbaum to snap it, what he's doing when you're trying to catch a team offside, because if they don't snap it and nobody jumps, they can get back onside and there's no penalty, right? So if I'm Tyler, I'm lining up, I'm trying to get them to jump, or else why the fuck am I lined up, right? Like, that's right. The only reason I'm lined up. So if if that's my mindset and I see someone go to jump, I'm like the offensive lineman in front of them, so the guard or the tackle needs to move for that flag to be thrown. Nobody moves, so he snaps the ball trying to – I think Tyler's trying to make a play. So it comes down to what position are you putting your players into? He put his player in a position where the player wanted to make a play, and so he snapped the ball because he thought someone jumped offside. And, like, Quan Alexander did snap up and he moved. I don't think he jumped over. I'm not saying it's forgivable by Tyler Linderbaum, but don't put your players in a position. Just kick the ball. Like, it's just – it's really not that – complicated. So just a frustrating situation watching it unfold. And I just feel like we've had a lot of these kind of blunders lately where it's like, yeah, there's a miscommunication. Well, that falls to your feet. You're the head of this show. You wear what they wear, right?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, it gets even more infuriating when a few things happen, of course, in national media. Now, you know, TJ Watt, after punching anything that moves, has this heroic story of having his finger dislocated and putting it back in and playing the game. And TJ Watt is quickly becoming my second least favorite player in the NFL.
Punch Zay in his chin.
Right in his chin, dude. I think that if you punch and you miss, you should be penalized. I'm sorry. It's a risk you take. You punch a guy in the stomach, you punch a guy in the face, you should pay for it. And now Lamar Jackson, of course, is being fried in the media. Cause just like you said, Glenn, at the beginning, it's people that didn't actually watch the game. That just watch some, you know, look at some stats and things. But I'm going on this long rant to say the only silver lining I've taken away from this game, Cole, is if something that hasn't happened in, I think, a decade since 2013 doesn't happen, Lamar Jackson has one heck of a game. And so I'm still excited about the way Lamar Jackson is playing. And that's about the only positive thing I've taken away from this game. Yeah, his teammates let him down this week, but I do believe that we have a much more talented group that is not continually going to let him down. What say you?
It comes down to when I think back to last year and the early season struggles when we were blowing leads and losing games that way. That's not something where I look in and I'm like, oh, we can fix this. Like, of course you can identify what the problem is and this is how the problem could be fixed. But when you're trying to prevent a team from beating you versus now you're trying to prevent yourself from beating yourself, you control what you do more than you control what another team can do to you, right? So there is definitely an easier path this year to righting the ship. You know, at some point, the talk needs to become the walk. And it's like, yeah, we need to stop fumbling. Agreed. Everybody agrees. Okay, well, then stop fucking fumbling, right? Like, sorry for the language. This one's got me heated. So it's just, you know, it's like... We talked about it last week when Mark Andrews was running with that ball and the punch was coming from behind and we all cringed. Did anyone else cringe when Justice Hill was being chased down on the screen? Because I was like, I saw it coming. I'm like, no, no. And then it goes out and I'm like,
it's just a freaking repeat.
It's the same thing. So it's just, you know, a lot of that comes down to, you know, and I think you can look at it. And this is always the classic, you know, players dropped the ball, players didn't execute. How can you blame the coach for players executing? Anyone that's coached, you wear what your players do. That's literally what coaches do. Anyone that's coached a sport that's at a competitive level, if your players are doing poorly, you wear that. You feel that. If I'm on the sideline and my O-line's playing like dog crap, who do you think the head coach is yelling at? He's not yelling at the offensive coordinator. He's yelling at me. So it really comes down to, I think people need to better understand what the role of the coach is and what their responsibilities are. The head coach wears a lot of this. It doesn't mean, you know, you just fire him and you don't think twice about it, but you need to ask yourself some hard questions and have those hard discussions.
Yeah, I know that the offense got all the attention and certainly all the blame and they deserved it, but I got to ask your take on some of these on the defensive side of the ball. Marcus Williams is running around there with no left arm. It's pretty clear he couldn't use his left arm when tackling. So I find it hard to believe he'll be able to use it down the field for pass breakups. And I look here and I see he played 95% of the snaps. Geno Stone just 30% of the defensive snaps. Is it crazy to think that a fully healthy Geno Stone is better than a one-armed Marcus Williams?
I think if you got your best players available, you got to play them. But things, yeah, he didn't look himself, right? Like there was definitely times where even just kind of running the alley, he looked a little bit more timid. And I think we talked about this about Marlon Humphrey a little bit. I didn't think he was going to play. And it just seemed too soon to be returning to. And I know people are keep saying it was 7 weeks. How is that too soon? What I mean by too soon is he just started practicing and kind of getting back to that regular play of football. That's hard on your body to just go straight into a game. Played 37 snaps. Marcus Williams played more than that. And it's I know he had an extra week of practice, but it comes down to, you know, I guess I'm just wondering, did he come back still hurt to play? Yeah. Because it reminds me of my critique of the Joe Burrow situation. If he's actually hurt, and I know there's discussion of people think he's not actually hurt, but if he's actually hurt, is playing him and prolonging him taking that recovery to get healthy worth it in September and October? I don't think it is. And so I'd apply that same logic here. Like, give the time, get through it, and then you'll have them in, you know, December, January when you need them. That's when you need your key players, and it's up to the backups to step up and get you through these regular season games. So if Marcus Williams is still kind of ailing, that's not going to suddenly get better week to week. It's not going to get better over the bye week. If he needs extra weeks, give it to him. We're going to need him later in the season.
I think the thing is, I mean, I guess it could get marginally better. I think the thing with Marcus is that, well, I'm not a doctor here, but I think he needs surgery, and it's just at this point like a pain and mobility thing. And he's like, well, you can play this year as long as you can.
Just don't put your left arm above your head.
Yeah, exactly. Like, holy crap, man. That's just, reminds me of my grandfather when he got a pacemaker put in, dude. Just couldn't raise his hands up here.
Yeah, I'm man. Like, don't do it.
Marcus. Speaking of your grandfather, I just bought a Buick. And now I've realized that I'm 90 years old. Wow. But you know what? It's a safe, felt luxurious.
It's SUV.
Nice ride. Yeah, it's the Encore. And so if you Google 2019 Buick Encore and you look at that car, you're like, I ain't driving that. And then you Google 2023, you're like, okay. Yeah, they did some work on it. Now the slogan is not your granddad's Buick. So
nice.
You know what? Still kind of feels like my granddad's.
Oh, I remember seeing those commercials where the guy's like looking for the Buick and he's like, I don't see a Buick out here.
They modernized it, but I still feel old. I'll give it to people that want to make fun of me. I definitely still feel like an old man.
Hey, it's exciting getting a new vehicle. So yeah, congratulations on that. You know, Jimbo, we talked about, you brought up Harrison and how you liked what you've seen. You know, him playing the edge, and he got a huge boost in play time, played 50% of the snaps. What was your thoughts on what you saw from that outside linebacker group, Cole?
Their poorest outing of the year from the outside linebackers. Very little pressure. Later in the first half, I didn't really care too much. They were really keen on establishing the run. I was surprised. They ran it a lot, and then when they started kind of throwing it, they had – I mean, Clowney only came away with, just double checking the numbers here, he came away with one pressure, one from Kyle Van Noy, both hurries. So your guys that put together 10 last week, put together two this week. Matabike had three, including one of his sacks. Then you got Queen and Pierce, both with two. So, I mean, just not very good production. I think they ended up with four sacks, a lot of that coming from manufactured blitzes and coverage sacks. But I was disappointed. I felt really down on I was expecting a big thing from those guys, especially against, you know, a rookie tackle in his first full start. And, you know, I didn't think their right tackle was very good. But also, like, even on the inside, like, their right guard's not good. And, you know, they just weren't able to – it never really felt like the D-line was dominating. And I think that's becoming a reoccurring theme. Especially in these Steelers games, it's like I feel like we're always getting dominated by their outside linebackers and we can never return the favor. Early with Big Ben, it was because they were just getting the ball out in 2 seconds. But, you know, now with Pickett's, it's a little bit different. Opportunities to get to him, and guys just felt like a lot of stunted rushes where it's just kind of like guys you know, weren't really getting any momentum. So I was really disappointed with that.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to add when it comes to that is, what are your thoughts on Glemmer talking about this? There's been a lot of speculation on Twitter. Danielle Hunter, are the Vikings going to start tanking? Are they finally going to blow this thing up? Justin Jefferson is out. Which, who in our fantasy league drafted Jefferson? Was that Pierney?
It was Rob.
Rob? Ooh, his season's over. No, I don't know if his season's actually over, but that's just brutal. As my guy comes back from a hamstring injury, I'm feeling good about. No, I guess my question really is, while I'm bragging about my terrible fantasy record, is what's your take on any sort of action at the trade deadline? Do you like Hunter? If the Vikings do this, I don't know if the Vikings ever will. They don't seem like the type of team. Sorry, my light just fell. That would be smart enough to blow it up. But what's your take on him? Do you think he's a fit? Glenn's a big fan. Mm-hmm. I think the Ravens would go. Do you think EDC would pick up the phone and be like, "I'll give you a second"? You know,
yeah, I don't know what they'd be looking for him. I think the team that trades for him only has to take on $7.5 million this year in terms of a cap hit. They can easily create that with restructures. So the financial aspect of, for this year anyway, I'm not sure about next year or what his contract looks like. But for this year, it's doable. Definitely the type of guy that I think would fit in terms of a premier edge rusher that can just win one-on-one battles that they can create for him. I think it's a guy that does fit really well opposite Jadeveon Clowney, because what Clowney needs opposite him is, you know, and I don't want to say we need to go get a Myles Garrett, because they just aren't really out there because it's Myles Garrett. But kind of the thing about Clowney is he can be so disruptive that he will draw attention. I mean, as much as he's not getting home, getting sacks, he's causing consistent disruption across games, so that, you know, when the defense has to pay attention to him, it benefits the guy opposite him. So, you know, a guy like Hunter on third down makes a ton of sense to me. So, you know, that's definitely a move I'd like to see them make. But, you know, would they pony up for Brian Burns where it's going to cost a little bit more? Probably not. But I also would think compared to a situation where they weren't thinking about Patrick Queen as like, and they could still pay him at more of a modest contract, but they weren't paying him, you know, kind of the big inside linebacker contracts. What they do, they traded for Roquan Smith and basically paid him that premium contract. So would they do that in this situation with Odafe Owe and whoever they bring in, and then kind of let Owe either stay on the cheap, or they just let him go and get a third round pick back for him? So I see that as a very comparable situation. So could I see EDC doing it? Yeah, I definitely could. I think he just kind of did it on defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you what's cool is that, or exciting is that, those teams that we've kind of said, well, they might be sellers, they're both kind of the Carolina being one with Burns, and then now the Vikings, and then losing Jefferson certainly doesn't help. I want to throw a couple of these.
DK's not here, guys. Sorry, forgive us. We're a little behind on these. Thanks a lot, DK. He's out drinking again.
He's out there taking body shots out of somebody's navel right now. Who knows what this guy's up to? But it's just Quan says wide receiver core have a favorable matchup the next three to four games. If we see no improvement from Bateman and OBJ's health, do we trade? I pray Keaton plays this week. Well, first and foremost, if you don't see improvement from those guys, then I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of teams willing to make trades for them. So I think we need to see improvement for us. And if there is a potential trade, which I don't see one. But what's your thoughts on Keaton Mitchell here, Cole? Because I was surprised to see, you know, Drake gets the one snap, but really it was the Gus Bus and Justice Hill show. We didn't see Melvin Gordon like we had the week before. What do you think about Keaton Mitchell getting some play time this week?
Yeah, I'd like to see it. You know, I would have liked to see it this week. I see more value in bringing him up than Kenyon Drake, especially if they're not going to play him. I'm assuming that had to do with special teams, and I'd have to go look at what his special team snaps were. But my assumption is he had at least a couple, or else that wouldn't have made sense. Let me bring it up here really, really quick.
Actually, I have it up here, but
did he play none? Looks like he played none.
One. He played one offensive. Oh, yeah, zero special teams. Yep.
So that just doesn't make sense to me. You know, it's I know Keaton Mitchell wore the yellow jersey all last week, so that means he's on the scout squad. So he was never really in their plans, but you know, I think they're pretty happy with Gus and Hill as their 1-2, and I'm not sure Mitchell's gonna unseat them right away, but I would like to see him get a couple of opportunities, you know, a couple snaps. You can see a guy like in Denver right now, like Jaleel McLaughlin, who's just able to, you know, he's a smaller back, kind of that old school receiving back style. And he was able to make an impact last week and the week before. So, you know, those types of guys with that type of speed, especially with the way the Ravens are playing a spread defense right now. I mean, look at how they got Justice Hill out in space. Look how they've gotten Kenyon Drake out in space, right? So guys with home run hitting speed, like what Keaton Mitchell has, that's definitely what I'd like to see them do. So, you know, Hill could revert back to a little bit more of a special teams role and kind of that RB3 if they wanted to get a little bit out of Keaton Mitchell, but they got to give him a look soon.
Yeah. And it'll be exciting. You know, we'll see what we get out of him. And I think a lot of people will be excited to see what he does out there. I just want to add to that last comment real quick. Yeah, I think our wide receiver core is what it is.
They're better than they showed, guys. Let's not give up on them yet.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's panicking about the talent they have in the room at this point. They just need to play, but the talent is certainly there. Massey said, I mean, look, what was it? 2 weeks ago, we were singing their praises, right? And like,
they hadn't had a drop going into that game.
Right. So yeah, the list is not short. It's only the Niners left, right?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. They look pretty good.
Yeah. So, Massey says listening to New York radio, is that Pharrell?
Pharrell. I think it's Pharrell.
Yeah. Pharrell. He said Lamar should start ignoring some of the senseless play calls. Wondering why throwing when on goal line instead of killing time and run. Does Lamar have such power? So what I would say about this is I think that there is a lot of ownership in Lamar's, you know, this is the most ownership and autonomy that Lamar's had. I don't think anyone knows the actual extent of, you know, what he's able to do in comparison to what he's doing at the line, where that line, you know, is drawn. Maybe we'll see more of that as the season progresses, but I would say, does Lamar have the power to call out of a run or out of a pass to a run play? I think he does, but I think the other thing you might have to consider is I can't really remember what the personnel was at that time in order to just, you know, turn around and do that. So just a lot of considerations there.
But I think the criticism, look, you get the ball at the 8. You run first down, you get 4 yards. Second and goal from the 4, you run I can't understand. Help me on that one, Cole. The shovel pass, the left-handed shovel pass in traffic to Mark Andrews. To me, it's just like so many things could go wrong on that play when I'd be fine with 3 kneel downs and kick the damn field. I mean, of course, but I also think running the ball is your best way to score. So it's the smartest way.
Yeah.
And it's your best opportunity to score. Give it to Gus. Let Lamar keep it. Run it. But why are we doing a left-handed inside shovel pass with all kinds of movement that could have went haywire, and then we're throwing a fade?
And before you even get sequentially, before you even get there, Glenn and Cole, before you answer, did anyone else like raise their hands up in ultimate confusion when the camera panned over and Gus Edwards was coming off the field? You're like,
that too.
This is stupid. Like, what are we doing here, right? Sorry, you can answer Glenn's question as well. But, I mean, I just lost my mind there. I already knew it was over. Screw it. Like, we're not getting a touchdown now.
I'll tell you what, I love that play.
I'm not my God.
Because I posted,
how could have went wrong? Everything.
I posted it last night, and Hill ran a motion flat route, and 54, I don't even know who he is on the Steelers, 54 followed him, and
a loser.
The shuffle came, and the Ravens block set up, and 54 that's following Hill, obviously, he made a hell of a play. He saw it and he came back rather than continuing into the flat with Hill. Like he had the awareness to scam back, and he's the one that came up, made the tackle. If you go back and you pause to where Andrews catches the ball, he could have done somersaults in. Like he could have just rolled on the ground and rolled in. It was that open. It set up so well, but it's set up so well, except for the guy following Hill. So, I mean, I guess the criticism that you could have is you could have motioned Hill into essentially like the tight end slot and then have him go block the guy that's following him in man coverage versus running into the flat, because that's really what happened. But I kind of liked it. I kind of liked that one. I said in my tweet when I sent it out, I would have just ran the ball three times. So I'm not saying that that wasn't the right decision, but I did like that play call. I won't lie.
Oh, my God. Left-handed shovel pass.
Yeah, the opposite hand thing will drive anyone crazy, but absolutely will drive Glenn crazy. Let me tell you what, Cole. This is quick story time. You don't know us super well yet, but anytime you play – so
see, hold on. I got to address this. There's a comment. They were ready for – you love that play, Cole. They were ready for it. They weren't. One guy was. Nobody else saw it. I'm telling you. If you go into my Twitter and look at the play, nobody has their eyes anywhere near Andrews except for 54. Nobody else has a damn clue where the ball is. Go watch the play a few times. I'm telling you, they did not know that was coming. It was one player following Justice Hill that looked to his right when the ball was being snapped and saw it and came back.
Glenn, one, you know what that play was? Cole, that play was a Joey play.
It was classic.
Look, let me tell you what, Cole. Anytime you play basketball with Glenn, like, or any sport, the senseless, like, oh, I'm the only one smart enough to see this play, and no one else is going to see it coming, so I'm going to throw it all the way down the court to somebody who's not looking, who can't catch the ball and only sets picks and plays defense anyway. But you know what? This is the play, and no one else sees it coming. That stuff drives Glenn
grinds my gears, Cole.
No, you know what? And it's so here's what I will say to Glenn's point, because I'm sure this is how Glenn's feeling. I'm going to do a little mind read here.
All right.
When your team, and I think back to the Titans game when they were going for fourth downs, the 2019 game, when your team's not executing well, when you're having execution issues all over, that is the reason to not call a play where it's just a little unconventional. It's situations when you're buzzing, everybody's high confidence. That's when I think getting cute is probably smart, because guys are. But when you're not executing well, and again, this was not a failure of execution on behalf of the offense. It was just like I said, it's set up well. Guys released their blocks to get into the second level well. But that is the reason to not make that play call, because, I mean, all it takes, like you said, is one little, you know, silly little, you know, and then it all falls apart. And you're like, what are you doing? You guys can't even catch a slant. Right. so that's a fair point. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh man. I don't like when they get too damn cute. JL says, do the Ravens have a number one wide receiver? I'd say, honestly,
JL.
Go ahead, Jimbo.
JL. Hold on here, JL. You know, I'm not going to assume anything, but, you know, I'm going to change what I was about to say. JL, this is all I'm going to say is that, like, don't fall into this recency bias, right? Like, yeah, it sucked on Sunday, but like, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Let's not throw the munchkin out with the bathwater. You like that? Because Zay Flowers has shown some like he's flashed real promise. I think we have a number one. I think his number is 4. I think his last name is Flowers. And I think it's pretty clear, right? Like, come on, JL. Like, he had a terrible game. He's also a rookie. Like, take a second.
He got punched in his mouth, too.
Yeah, he got concussed.
Yeah. He got jaw jacked by TJ Watt.
TJ Watt literally broke the punch machine on his face.
What do you think, though? Do you think the Ravens have a number one, Cole, on the roster?
I just got to plug my computer in.
I saw someone say they don't have talent. I definitely think they have talent. Mm-hmm. I think we've already kind of seen some of that talent. I do wonder how much they, I have questions about the consistency, and that's where, you know, in a rookie year, we saw so many flashes early from Zay Flowers. I give him a bit of a, you know, he's allowed to have a rookie game. It just came in week 5. You know, he's been pretty darn good. 29 catches, 317 yards through 5 weeks. If I had told you that was going to be a stat line at the start of the season, you'd probably be pretty happy with that. So I do think a lot of it is recency bias with Flowers. Do we have a number one right now? I'd say no. I don't think we have a number one right now, because your number one needs to be that week in, week out executor, right? So, and I don't think they have that yet. They don't have the guy that we need to go double cover. Their number one receiver is still probably Mark Andrews. From what I've seen, he draws the most attention. But, you know, is he a number one wide receiver? Probably not, right? So right now, I think they have the potential to finish this year out with probably two number twos. in Andrews and Zay. And then I think if OBJ can kind of stay healthy, because I mean, I think people are forgetting he left again in this game with an injury.
We're not forgetting, Cole.
Yeah. So, and I mean, he's probably looking like a number three. And then Bateman, like, I mean, if Bateman just catches a ball in the end zone, everybody probably feels a lot differently about him.
Yeah.
You know, until he fixes his mentals, I don't know what he is right now. Like, it's tough. It's a tough look, but I definitely don't think they have a number one receiver right now.
Wow. Okay. Well, Cole, I know you got to run, so we're going to let you get off here. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. If you haven't done so, please go over to Road Graders on YouTube, follow or hit the subscribe button. Cole does a great job breaking it down for average fans like myself. Cole, thanks for so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks so much. Take care, guys.
Yep. Right, see you, man.
All right, Jimbo. I want to get your take on a couple of these.
I know we're kind of behind, DK. We're a little bit behind here, so we'll get caught up, and then you'll be up to date on them.
Yeah, here we go. Koopman says, if we don't trade for a pass rusher, I don't know what to say about this team. We need someone like Hunter or Burns. All top teams have a top pass rusher. And I certainly understand. I think if you look at what the Eagles, you know, the Eagles have the best pass rush. They went to the Super Bowl. If you look at who was number two last year, I believe the Chiefs were right there as far as pressure rate. So there's no doubt that the top teams have good pass rush.
Yeah.
The Niners. I mean, you just name them. They all have good pass rush. So I think it's important. Now, having said that, the Ravens were top five in pass rush last year without a guy. They were fifth. So, but like Cole said many times, with a bona fide pass rusher, it allows you to be so much more creative on the back end. When you have to constantly manufacture and create pressure, it's taking guys out of coverage. So, yeah, they were top five in sacks, but they did so probably sending guys that, you know, other teams who have a bona fide guy don't have to send and can leave those guys in coverage.
Yeah. I mean, even if it looks differently, it looks differently, but I do think this is what I'll say about your comment, Koopman. I'll say that I think Eric DaCosta, if you see it, he sees it times 1,000, right? So I think he's going to do everything he can to fix the problem. But if the ability to trade in a reasonable, you know, a reasonable amount of assets is not there, that's not going to overwhelmingly compromise the team, he's not going to do it. It's just that simple. But I'm also okay with it. Like, we need to get it done. But I don't know if that is, oh, now we're going to the Super Bowl type thing. I think that it can, that pass rush can manifest itself in other ways. All that being said, I want us to go after those guys. I just don't think he's going to bet the house is what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wouldn't be shocked to see him go after somebody. I mean,
yeah, me neither. Wouldn't be surprised at all. He just got
Roquan last year. So
he's
shown he'll do it. Tom Votto says, did you guys happen to see Dan Orlovsky break down the interception in the end zone to Beckham? He was talking about the fact that Lamar was in the gun and not under center, and that throws off the timing when throwing the back shoulder fade. I didn't see that. I watched. I'm upset I didn't get through all of it. I got through half of the breakdown from the QB school, which was pretty cool to see. Mm-hmm. But man, I mean, all he was doing was pointing out a bunch of drops. So it really wasn't.
Right.
I mean, I
think Cole tweeted that was the first time Lamar had thrown that pass in the NFL. I think Cole tweeted that.
Really?
Maybe. I think so. Huh.
Interesting. Okay.
So,
well, either way, that play was just, it should have never been called. I mean, it's for so many reasons, like not just the situation, but also the fact that you're throwing to a guy who's been in and out of that specific game with injuries. You're throwing to a guy who's going up against a 6'4" corner who's known to be physical with no threat of the deep ball going by him. I mean, it was a bad throw, but it was a bad decision. It was everything was bad about that play. But no, I missed Dan Orlovsky's breakdown.
Yeah, and I'm not concerned about the fact that I missed it. I'll be all right.
Yeah, I did see his highlight reel though. He threw a lot of highlights to Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson will turn any throw into a highlight for his quarterback. Seriously. Oh my goodness gracious. That guy was something special. JL says, bro, Zay is our number one and he hasn't even scored. Yeah, I mean, look. Imagine he hangs on to two of those. Imagine he hangs on to the one and the other one he tracks properly and doesn't fall down. I think it's a totally different conversation. For one, he has a touchdown, but he also has probably over 400 yards in five games.
Okay, and if he's not our number one, JL, what do you want me to tell you now? Like, what do you want me to say? He's our number one. Is he a number one or our number one? Zay Flowers is our number one. McColl's saying we don't have a number one. I think that Zay is the guy. I think he had one bad game. Any of you who play fantasy and pick up a number one wide receiver will also know that 3 to 5 games out of the year, they'll be doo-doo. Like, they just will. What has Davante Adams done for anyone lately? What has...
Jamar Chase didn't do anything for the first four weeks.
Yeah, until the lowly Cardinals. Good for you, Jamar Chase. You beat up on some high schoolers.
T. Higgins. I mean, just like, a bunch of guys.
So I understand your point. Zay needs to get in the end zone, but he's been incredibly productive and definitely for a rookie. Mm-hmm. A rookie Raven, right? Like I know everyone's blaming these drops on the wide receivers, but I feel blessed as a Ravens fan to have the wide receiving room that we have. Like,
They need to play like it.
But imagine us having this conversation last year when DeMarcus Robinson was our number one.
Yeah, because there's no light at the end of that.
Yeah,
tunnel.
There's no like, oh, we can turn it around. Oh, we've seen him do it. Oh,
yeah.
No, there's none of that. So all I'm saying is let's keep things in perspective. Right now, things are tough. You know, look, this is a relationship. This is what I was going to get to, Glenn. When you have a relationship with someone, you can't be so ready to just shut the door when one stupid thing happened.
Right.
Right? Like, let's talk this thing through. Let's work it out. Like, let's just move on. But, like, we don't need to, like, all right, it's over. Wait a second. Like, that's ultimate toxicity here.
Yeah, let's...
Like, let's not be that.
I know that game hurt. And of course, it makes this game matter much more. But it's certainly not the end of the world. SMKG says this feels like another year where we go 10-7 and lose in the first round of the playoffs. Nothing special about the team. Keep losing gimme games. I mean, I get why you feel that way, but I feel like there is special stuff about this team. I still believe in our guys, and it's not easy. After you lose a game like they did, but I still think they do have a pretty special team. I mean, look at that. I mean, look at their defense outside of Edge. They're pretty special. I mean, just the way I look at it offensively outside of that one game, you think that, I mean, I still think Zay is a special type of talent. I still think Mark Andrews is a special, special talent and obviously Lamar Jackson, but they just didn't show it. So let's not, I mean, it is frustrating that they're losing the gimme games because it's these games that end up hurting you for playoff seeding, playoff chances. You wonder why you don't get a home playoff game. Yeah, you lose these gimme games, and that certainly is a big reason. But, man, I'm not ready to say 10-7 losing the first round.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I think they got some stuff here the Baltimore Ravens do. I think that when the offense is playing well, the offense and defense can really lean on each other, and it's just exciting.
I'm going to let you have this one, Jim.
Tom Botto. Tom,
I'll let you have it.
It's time to admit we could use Hollywood. I know you weren't a huge fan and say what you want. Hollywood had a 1,000-yard season and was very close to Lamar. Zay has not one touchdown yet. Oh, Tom, I'm just going to tell you that Zay Flowers is going to be he's going to be a better football player than Hollywood Brown. If you're talking about trading one for another, the no touchdown thing is ridiculous because Zay has been so productive. He's just been a crazy productive player. He's been everything that Hollywood Brown was advertised to be, right? Like, Zay can get open down the field on a deep pass. We've already seen him do that. Okay, it didn't turn into him scoring the touchdown, but I'm pretty sure that we turned that into a touchdown. That was just a few weeks back. Zay can take the pitch. He can take the sweep, and he can make a guy miss. He can take the short pass. Did you see what he just did to that Steelers player? I've never seen on the sideline. You know what Marquise Brown does? He turns into a cheap tent, and he dives out of bounds. Right? Like, that's what Marquise Brown does. Never, ever will I say we need Marquise Brown instead of Zay Flowers. Could Marquise Brown help right now? Sure. But he didn't want to be here. I also, talking about toxicity, I don't want a guy who's not going to be here and talking about being a soldier not getting used. Go play for Arizona then, dude. If you're not bought in, well, then be out. Like, that's the biggest thing for me, Tom, is that, like, he wasn't bought in. His body, it was clear in his body language, and I'm okay with it. I've lost no sleep over Hollywood Brown. I'd much rather have Tyler Linderbaum.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep. Hey, I also wanted to do some. We missed some super chats. I don't know if there was like a glitch in the system. I just want to get
to this one real quick. Love you, Joe. I appreciate it. Love you too, Tom. Yes, go, Glenn. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I love people who are passionate about this kind of stuff, but we did miss some, apparently more than one super chat from last week or on Sunday. And, you know, we don't know if it was a failure with the system or what, but we just didn't see it. So I wanted to give What the Flock his due. He said, Zay has two drops wide open, then Glassman drops a wide open touchdown. Can we please agree on scripted games? No field goal to end the second and Phantom fumbles? Icing on the cake, Aguilar misses a walk-in TD, and Marlon forgets to cover on a touchdown. Scripted, as the commercial says, takes three touchdowns off the board. The NFL is clearly scripted, Jimbo, says What the Flock. What do you think about that?
The NFL is not scripted. It's just not scripted. I don't know how. I mean, there's a ton of cases to disprove this. The furthest I'll go down this conspiracy rat hole is simply saying that the NFL is entertainment and it's meant to entertain. So the NFL has an obligation to create storylines and to beef up these storylines. So they do that. When Tom Brady took off, they leaned into that. He's the everyman. He's the sixth round pick. He's this, that, and the other. Lean into it, right? Like the Mahomes thing, they're going to lean into it. Every other league does the same thing. It's the reason why LeBron only gets called for one foul a game. It's the reason why Jordan had the Jordan rules, right? Like, it's just different. Guys get special treatment. I get it. But I'm not going to sit here and say the NFL is scripted. That's just... why? I don't know. I mean,
I don't think Roquan's signing up for any of that.
I don't think there's enough... I don't think that like stuff like that works in the WWE, where at most, I don't know, I don't watch WWE, but there's like 10 people out there. Like, so you're talking about
the whole
being scripted, right? Like, no, at a time, like in a match. How many people every Sunday are playing in multiple games and that's all scripted? All of that? You know how much time that would take? All the NFL wants to do is restrict more practice time. You think that's enough practice time? No, it's not. These guys aren't rocket scientists. Like, are you kidding me?
Like Flacco says, just football.
It's just football. That's all it is. Look,
it would take too many people to keep that quiet and too many people to cooperate to make it happen. So, no, I don't think it is, but I can see. Look, just play Madden. You'll see all kinds of crazy shit, and you'll go, this never happens in real life. And then you watch real life, and you go, God, all this crazy shit really does happen. Like, it's just, it happens, man. Crazy stuff happens. JL says, assessment of Monken. What can he do? What can he improve upon?
Yeah, stop getting cute.
I mean, yeah, you could do that. I mean, I would say, oh man, what can he improve upon? Well, one thing is, you know, you can always improve upon your ability to relay like the overall game plan, the overall message to all your players. I get that the quarterback is the guy who's you know, kind of at the hip with the offensive coordinator, but the fact that Linderbaum's got, I mean, look, I get Linderbaum shouldn't even in that position. I don't like that, but he's got to know. Like, I don't know. I don't have a problem with what Monken's doing, but I think the too cuteness, the not making sure everybody on the same page with stuff. Now, that's on John Harbaugh. Most of that's on John Harbaugh. So I guess for Monken to me, I don't know. What's your thoughts on Monken? I'm kind of torn on. I'm okay with it, but a lot of mistakes too. It's like the fumbling. It's like Cole said, it's like, yeah, he says we don't need to fumble, but yet we're still seeing fumbling. So I don't know, like, if I should blame him or the play, like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as Monken goes, I'm still super excited about the offense because we never saw this with Greg Roman. Anything that was scripted or that was like, that was on script, guys weren't schemed open. We never saw it in 3 years. Would you agree?
Yeah.
The only plays where guys were open was Lamar improvising and Mark Andrews taking advantage, or Marquise Brown taking advantage of the improvisation, right? And breaking up field and then Lamar hitting them or wherever, right? That's really all we saw. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about the fact that before this past game, think about our red zone percentage before this game. So once again, I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think that Monken is good. I think that he just needs to stop getting cute, keep it a little more simple, and I mean, I think that's it. I those are the two. And look, I would say a lot of depends on the offensive line, but I want more shots down the field.
Yeah, for sure. But you're right. It is a lot of it is the offensive line. Oreo cookie, appreciate it. If you meant to say something, you're going to attach a message there. But appreciate the generosity. Absolutely. Shout out to Oreo cookie. SMKG says, what do y'all think of the Chase Young as a potential trade? I think that the Washington Commanders should absolutely be in sell mode. I don't know if they are. But what has Chase Young done this year? I guess the question would be, what does it cost? If it's a low-level draft pick, then sure, why not? I'm okay with it. Right. If they want to ask for Patrick Queen, then the answer is hell no.
Right. Yeah, that's just crazy. Yeah, I mean, I told you when we talked about this, I was excited about this coming up, but Patrick Queen has played his absolute butt off this season, and him and Roquan just find a way of bringing the best out of each other. So, I'd rather them go after different guys that we've already talked about, right? Whether that's Burns or whether that's Hunter. I think that I'd be more excited about those two.
Let's see here. By the way, Chase Young has 11 total tackles on the year, including 3 sacks. So, I mean, he's not necessarily lighting up the world here.
Let's see. Would he lead our team in sacks, though, outside of Kyle Hamilton?
Probably, but you got to remember he's playing with, you know, he's playing with Montez Sweat. He's playing with Deron Payne. He's playing That's with true. Jonathan Allen. He's playing. I mean, he might get a little more attention if he comes to Baltimore than he's getting right now with the Commanders. And yeah, Ravens O's Nations says quick RIP to the O's, man. So sad. High hopes. Yeah. It got ugly really quick. 6-0 in the second inning. Hey, they gave us a great summer, man. They gave me a great summer. Look, there's a lot of summers, Jimbo. By the time it's hot out, I'm like, what the hell am I going to watch? Because the O's are already out of it at that point. So the fact that they gave me a great summer, I'm still, you know, hype about this team. They're a year early. Nobody thought they'd be this good this fast. So I'm not going to let it get me down. I still love my baby birds, but obviously we wanted more once you got to this point.
Dude, put the shades on. Put the shades on. You got to look ahead to the future, right?
Certainly bright. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Wait, you just read this one, right?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, well, anyway. Yeah, dude, what's going on with the O's, man? It's giving me 14-2 Ravens vibes. Yeah, it's just a tough one. It's a tough one. Like all the things that Glenn just said, even I got excited about them, dude.
Dude, I mean, they're so fun to watch. Like they were, but look, there's a big moments and the Texas Rangers got an explosive offense and, yeah, they jumped on us early, so shout out to them.
Well, let's get into our show competition winner, who I'm excited to announce because he's becoming a regular as far as winning goes. I think this is his third time winning, DK, in total. Like, all right, DK, why don't you throw this bad boy up? Drum roll, please. Our competition brought to you by BetUS. Of course, yep. David Cutsell is the winner. Shout out to Dave. We'll make sure we're starting to line his closet the second time this year. He's going to have a whole closet that's just 410 sports sock swag. But every week, as you guys know, we do over-under competition. It's easy to enter. You know, obviously, watch the pregame show and then add post video in the comments or in the comment section or any social media, you know, where you can find us. Mm-hmm. DM us your predictions. The winner gets a 410 Sports Talk shirt. But Dave, shout out, man. Glad that you won it again. Hopefully we'll get some contenders in here for you. You guys got to knock Dave off his throne here. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of submissions. So you got to give credit where it's due. Yeah. Dave's, dude. He knows his stuff, man. You
sniping gotta, them.
But absolutely go visit BetUS to get that match. I mean, they're going to give you 125% match up to $2,500. Take advantage of it. Free money. And Jimmy will tell you, look, it makes things more fun. When there's a game on that the Lions are playing the Buccaneers, you might not have a whole lot of interest. You put a couple shekels down on one of these individual player prop bets, all of a sudden it makes watching that game so much more fun.
Yeah, let me tell you what, I was up later than I was up past my bedtime last night making sure Josh Jacobs got me my points. let me tell you what, I got out to a late start this morning, but, you know, as just like Glenn said, it's just so much fun and really, really easy to do. And look, nothing like free money, right?
Is your light going on and off, Jimbo?
It's off. It's dead. I got this a new light, guys.
And your new light, dude. I know, but the same old guy not plugging it in.
No, well, the thing is, I had it plugged in, but what I've learned about this new light is that the USB, it's a bigger light, so it doesn't charge it enough, so it's still dying while I have it plugged in.
Yeah.
And so it just died, and I have nowhere to plug it in on hand right now, so I'm just rolling with it, dude.
This guy is always gonna have light issues. I mean, forever. I fixed my up there it goes again. Or is that your computer? That's what it is. When you change windows, your brightness is changing as you're doing it.
Oh, okay. Now I understand like, what's going on. I'll just stay here. How's this? Look at this. Oh, wait, my brightness is all the way up. I was about to say, all right, cool.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we can see the hair. That's all that matters.
That is all that matters, dude. You like the line? Is the line clean?
I do, dude. Looking good, man.
Is the line clean? All right.
Now, look, I want to fill you in on some what's going on with the Ravens too, Jimbo, because they are doing things quite a bit differently. And look, we're obviously going to have our preview show coming up on Friday. But I wanted to mention the fact that the Ravens have been in London. Like they are not doing things like they did last time where I think they didn't get to London till like Friday. They've already been there, which is kind of interesting. And apparently this is kind of like the culmination is what they're calling it of a year's worth of planning to get to this point. And I gotta imagine moving because they're practicing there. So if I'm, you know, assuming correctly, they have to bring all their practice equipment too. So just imagine the amount of stuff that has to be moved for an NFL team to be prepared to play a game. I mean, what do you think about this kind of different approach on how they're preparing for this game?
Yeah, I think a week is not enough time. If they could get more time, it would be worth doing. Adjusting to time is difficult. I think the only thing more difficult than adjusting to time on short notice is altitude. I think that's the only thing that takes even more time. Like we're talking playing at altitude, I want like a month. You know what I mean? Ideally, obviously that's just simply not the case,
right?
But I'm glad the earlier the better. Get out there, get used to it, get a few nights to get jet lag out from under you, get your circadian rhythm going well, and definitely a big undertaking because you got to find a place to practice, you got to have your equipment because you don't know what's going to be out there available to you. Now you should be able to find quality fields in a place like London, where obviously there's a lot of fields out there for soccer and such, but you got to make sure you bring your equipment because you can't depend on anything that's there. I think that I think you do two things to have success. You prepare to give your team as much time as possible and you're intentional on your actions, but then also you want to move forward like business as usual because you can also psych yourself out. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a part of it. But you just listen, anyone watches UFC, if anyone's ever listened to Khabib Nurmagomedov talk about his last fight with Gaethje, he said, yeah, I'd been there for a month in Saudi Arabia. And he just got a week in and I already knew this dude's going to be gassed after one round, right? Because he's still jet lagged. Like it just is what it is. But both teams are dealing with it.
Yep.
So the earlier the better. I'm happy about it. I'm excited.
I'm trying to find the clip, and I'm of course not able to in the moment, but I saw a clip of the field going down. Any concern about just the health of the because apparently I just saw a quick video of them. It looks like a carpet being put over a parking lot is what it looks like. Like
yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned when you compare it to what the Ravens play, you know, certainly at home on a full grass field.
So is this not a grass field? It's just turf? It's grass?
If it's grass, then how the heck do they, how does this work? Because it looks like a machine, like a steamroller that just lays it out. I mean,
The only thing I would say, I don't know, but I think they've been playing on grass for a heck of a long time out there.
I don't think so.
I feel good. Yeah. Like DK said in our chat, Premier Soccer is much better fields. I would agree with that.
That's not what I was reading.
That their fields aren't good.
They prefer turf in soccer because it's faster. But and they don't have to worry about being tackled. I believe it's all turf over there. I'm pretty sure.
Well, if it's turf, then that sucks. But I would be shocked. I just
put on Wembley Stadium turf in Twitter, and it's like turf is horrible.
That sucks then.
Yeah, so I'm just
shooting everything you're saying right now.
Okay, hey, maybe everything I'm reading on Twitter is completely incorrect, but Yeah, I just saw a video of them laying out the turf, and it just looked disturbing.
Oh, is this where they're playing, DK? Tottenham Hotspur Stadium? All right, well, that's good to know.
Okay. I just know that Matt Milano just broke his leg there. He plays for the Bills. He just snapped his leg in half, and they're blaming it on the turf. So, I mean, you guys tell me I'm crazy, but that's
No. I honestly don't know. I'm just going off of my own whatever sort of knowledge that I would have. I would think that soccer isn't played on turf, but I just don't know. I wouldn't want it played on turf, that's for sure.
I just worry. Anytime the Ravens are playing on in unfamiliar stadiums.
Yeah, let's just skip OBJ in this game. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Gideon saying, Glenn, you're good. The Jags complained as well. They'll be playing on turf from Tanja Bowman. Lisa Ann says it's artificial turf.
Yeah.
So I just get worried when we've already had all these issues, and now I just saw Matt Milano get his legs snapped like a twig, and we know the player he is. So I just get worried when I see our guys playing in that kind of it's apparently they're saying it's comparable to MetLife, but I hope it's not like that.
All right, let's see this, DK.
Here we go. Maybe this is what I saw where they kind of like
we're gonna have to start calling DK Jamie.
I like the jams, bruh.
Yeah. I like the water. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Holy crap. This is so advanced.
Wow. Yeah, this is quite the production here.
Yeah, well, Premier League doesn't mess around.
But, I mean, there doesn't look like a lot of padding there.
Yeah. Are you skipping ahead, DK? Is that what you're doing? No? Okay. Anyway. Yeah, no, I mean, if they're complaining about it, they're complaining about it. So there's obviously something to be complaining about. But hopefully it works out and we get out of there safe, right? Like, we want to get out there safe. We want to get out there healthy. We want out there with a W because we should beat the Titans. Like, it just is what it is. We should beat the Titans.
And then we get to come home, finally. Feels like they've been on the road for forever, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Holy, we need to get these boys back in town.
You know, the only thing I wonder about is when will there be a situation where a key player in the NFL, period, I'm not talking about the Ravens, can't get a passport because of a, like, criminal record? Because I don't think if you're a felon, you can get a passport.
We
I'm pretty sure.
On our team, do we?
No, I don't know. And I also know it depends on the country, too. Like, you can only go to certain places and stuff like that. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, the day will come, right?
Well, I don't ever foresee a London team permanently being a thing just because logistics don't make sense. But I guess it could be a thing for that one game where it could interfere
with
somebody.
That's what I mean. Like, imagine your best play, you know, your best defensive player, your best offensive player just happened to have
a felony in his background.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, look, how many teams is that probably the case where, like, one of their best players?
I got to look it up. Yeah, we'd have to find that out. Let's see. From the news, the Tottenham Hotspur Soccer Club plays on natural grass in its home stadium, but that surface is rolled out and artificial turf is brought in. What? What? They don't want to mess up their good grass with our
So it
our
sounds like the NFL's
players?
Not paying them enough.
Dang, dude. That's dirty.
That's what it sounds like to me.
So we'll bury the good grass and put the trash turf on top for when these boys come to town.
Well, I mean, think about it's kind of like the treatment we'd probably give them if they came here to play, right? Like, what kind of draw?
I mean, we do pretty well when they come to Baltimore. Usually we get one premier matchup and they do pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they roll a fake turf over top that beautiful grass at M&T, dude.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is, Goodell, you need to break out the shekels, my man.
Yeah, like, all the money these guys make, how much could it really be to get a real field? Like, come on, man. It's bullcrap.
Yeah. The NFL could have an NFL-owned stadium over there if they wanted to.
They could have 10 of them.
Right. Like, I mean, I don't know, 10 might be crazy. But
how much money they make, dude. It's insane.
No, for sure. I mean, that, which would be interesting to do. That could be a whole cool concept in and of itself. Anyway. All right. Well, I think that's it for us tonight, folks. We'll be back on Friday. As always, we'll be here to break down the Titans game. We're hoping to get a guy on the show. And we'll be looking forward to it. My light will not go out. And I will be here. I promise.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my mother-in-law's going home on Thursday, which I'm kind of sad about because she's been cooking a lot.
Oh, you've been getting that home cooking, bro.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed. I'm going to have to start cooking more again. But yeah. All that being said, thank you so much for coming out. Thank you to Cole. Thank you to DK for hopping on. Shout out to Dave. Any of you that have won that have not submitted your addresses to us, please do so we can get your attire. Yeah. That's it for us tonight. We'll talk to you guys soon.
See you.
Right? That's after every show in season, right?
Did you hear? Yeah.